All right, it's podcasting time. I had a few ideas for shows that I was going to do that were like theme shows. I'll probably still do them eventually. Hold on. Heidi took off for the day. It's Keith. What can I do for you?
Keith, did you get a chance to do the trailers?
Yeah, there's still one little change in number three, but I'll get that done right now, and then they'll be all done.
Okay, no problem.
So, I had some ideas for theme shows I was going to do. Like a Sloan show. I downloaded a bunch of Sloan rarities. I thought that might be cool. Smashing Pumpkins one. I'll probably do that one for sure. Something else I was thinking of. I don't remember. Anyway. But what I'm going to do right now is I got this cheap ass. I buy everything cheap. Walmart shit all the time. It's weird because my parents are both like real estate lawyers. They're certainly not... they're not rich, but they're not doing bad. But I was somehow raised with this idea that I was poor, which I think was to my benefit. But I don't know, it kind of hit ridiculous levels sometimes. Like we had pizza day in my elementary school every Wednesday. And it was like, I don't know, $2 or something for pizza. And I never got pizza. I think maybe once or twice ever did I get the pizza. Because I just assumed it was like, we don't have money for pizza, man. Well, why not? Why have pizza when you can just make a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Looking back, that's fucking ridiculous, Ma. What the hell? Give me $2 for pizza? Jesus Christ. There was no reason for that. That was silly. But I always grew up with thrift store clothes and hand-me-downs and going to yard sales. You know, cheap-ass shit. And I think it has served me well, not in a fashion sense, but in a frugality sense. Anyway, now though, I mean, it's starting to... Shoes, I've learned. You just can't cheap out with shoes. I really got to go spend, like, I don't know, what's a lot for shoes? I'm thinking 100. But maybe 100 is not even a lot for shoes. 150, I don't know. But, this dude Hamza that works here. Hamza. He's been wearing the same shoes for 4 years. That's fucking sweet. You know, I gotta get shoes like that. I keep going to Walmart and buying these cheap-ass fucking shoes that just fucking fall apart. I think I spent like $20 on my last pair of shoes, and within 3 months, they were like rags on my feet. It was sick walking around downtown. You know, it's just filthy. You never know when you're gonna run into like a horrible junkie needle or something downtown in Vancouver. And just spit and grossness and piss, and it felt like I was walking... So many holes in my shoes that it was like I was walking barefoot almost. It was just like gross. I didn't feel like there was any protection. So I tossed those and I was like, all right, this time let's go crazy. Let's get all fancy. And these shoes I bought this time, I don't know if they were $40 or $60. But they were more. But not enough, because again, 3 months later, they're fucking holes in them. Anytime I walk around when it's wet, my feet just get fucking soaked. Well, speaking of that, I've decided that I'm done with Vancouver. I just, I'm not a sociable enough personality to be able to whip up, I don't know, any kind of... The social connections that I would like to have out here just aren't going to happen. I'm just not that guy. If they're not pre-existing, it's weird too, because when I was a kid, a lot of it was just that my parents had this huge house, and they didn't care if other kids hung out there. And everybody did. Everyone in the neighborhood always hung out at my house, and I could easily like hold court. You know, that's no problem. I was like the nexus. Everybody knew everybody else like through me and my brother. It was cool. But that was really just a social situation made by the circumstance of how my house was, my neighborhood, my parents. And I think I need that. I need something that is built by someone else, and then I can easily thrive within that. But Vancouver, just no, I just can't. Just not working out. It's a very nice city, largely. I like the city a lot. As far as Canada goes, I mean, I don't know. Granted, there's an insane amount of homeless and a ridiculous drug problem, but generally, it's a fucking very, very beautiful city. But I think I'm done. I'm going to head home for Christmas and stay on the East Coast, I think, after that. So I was kind of doing my goodbye to Vancouver thing, where I actually dug up my old ham radio, number 9, I think it was, Vancouver Stories, that I did when I was back on the East Coast. Tossed that on my little MP3 player, and man, it was raining when this thing started. It rained for like the first hour of this journey. I fucking had 3 pairs of socks on, because I hoped that would counteract my holes in my shoes, which it really didn't. But I jumped on the Beeline at Broadway Station, Broadway and Commercial, took it down to Burrard, walked across the Burrard Bridge, and from there I figured I'd just get a coffee and go the fuck home. But instead I walked all the way around Stanley Park, all the way around the seawall, until they blocked it off, because they're doing forestry. So up through the weird randomness of Stanley Park, got to the Lionsgate Bridge, walked across the Lionsgate Bridge, then walked, I don't know, some of the way to Lonsdale Quay. I eventually caught a bus, and then the sea bus and SkyTrain home. The whole thing took like 3.5 hours. It was ridiculous. So I listened to that whole super long podcast about Vancouver while walking around this incredibly beautiful, super scenic, long-ass walk. And it was cool. It was like, I think that was my goodbye. That's going to be my goodbye memory of Vancouver. But I still got a couple months to go, and basically I'm just grinding it out here at my job to save up money, because I'm going to head home for Christmas, and then I'm planning on, like, January, I assume, sometime around there, I'm going to head down to New York, because that social circle, everything I want to have in Vancouver, everything that would be cool and fun here, is already fucking happening there. That's where I should fucking be. I mean, there's just no reason for me to be in Vancouver. It's just the best I could do in Canada. So I'm going to have to jump the rails, man, get out to the United States, and I don't know how well that's going to go. I haven't looked it up a lot. I don't know a lot of the laws, but I don't know if I can get... I don't know if I can get a work visa. I don't know if I can get a job. I don't know. Keith and Hemda said they'd help me out in any way they can, but I haven't really looked into it enough yet. But worst comes to worst, I figure I'll just go, just squat, whatever, go down there for 6 months. Or however long. I can probably last longer than that, but on my savings. And it'll just be fun. It'd be nice not to fucking work for a while, too. I've been working like a retard here. Way too much working. So, yeah, and I don't know, while I'm down there, I can film all kinds of shit and just, I don't know, it'll be cool. It'll be fun. But right now, I'm still grinding it out at the job. So, where was I getting at? Oh, yeah, so speaking of cheap shit from Walmart, same thing with MP3 players. The idea of buying an iPod is ludicrous to me. It just doesn't even make sense. It's mental. You can go to Walmart, and I got this MP3 player. Granted, I've gone through 3 MP3 players in the past year because they keep breaking, but this thing was like $40. $40 for a 1 gig MP3 player with a little SD card slot, too, and I happen to have a 500 meg SD card. But the problem with this fucking thing is I don't know where the fuck, what country it was made in. It looks like a little black fake rip-off iPod. It's diamond brand. Came with this fucking bullshit installation CD for like Windows 98 or something, which doesn't even make sense. This fucking MP3 players didn't exist back then, did they? It doesn't work. Anyhow, the drivers are non-existent. And so when I plug this thing in, it's just a little USB thing. It just won't read the fucking thing. It's, I think, you know, it's read it like 4 times ever. So basically I just gave up trying because it was just pissing me off. So I was stuck with whatever I had put on here. So I had this, I had the 500 meg SD, which is nice. You can put on podcasts and switch stuff around. But the main 1 gig is like unalterable. I could delete things, but I can't add anything new. So I was just had the same shit on here for a long goddamn time, like 3 months now. Getting a little fucking tired of it. But the other day I just randomly decided to try hooking it in again, and miraculously it worked. Unfortunately, I was also late for my job, so I didn't really have time to fucking pick and choose through shit. I just grabbed a bunch of my old miscellaneous MP3 CDs, or DVDs now. Like, and this is like my music collection that's just been, you know, fucking, first it was on normal CDs, then once MP3 CDs became big, converted everything to that, and then once DVD burners became big, I compiled all those together into DVDs. So, I mean, we're just like, a lot of this stuff is old, you know. It's been like the past decade of me just dragging stuff around with me while it keeps getting more and more portable. So, you know, it's no big deal to bring 6,000 songs across the country. So I just grabbed a bunch of random shit and tossed it on here super fast. And some of it's awesome. Some of it I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen to that. But it's interesting, though, because it's such a random assortment. There's a couple of newer things on here. But basically, here's my idea for this show. Now that my 10 minutes of intro rambling is over, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through my MP3 player, and every time I get to a song that I think is notable in some way, worth passing on, I'm going to play it. And I got all fucking night here at work, so this is going to be a long, long fucking podcast, so get ready. And first off, we got Sloan. Just happens to be the very first track out of this randomness on my MP3 player, and this is a fucking excellent song. This song is called Same Old Flame. And I think it was on one of the Japanese versions, like the Japanese version of One Chord to Another, maybe. And it's like, I don't know, a little B-side EP, I don't know. It was never really on an album, though, like North American style. And it's such a good song. I love this song. This is Patrick Pentland, who has written most of the big hits for Sloan, and just has a lot of, like, really good songs. Like, he writes the big rockin' tunes. But he also writes these, like, lower key songs. Some of them are just super good, this being one of them. This song, it has weird production values. It doesn't sound as slick as most Sloan stuff. It's almost like a bit like a demo, except that I actually downloaded the demo, and it sounds much worse. But, yeah, it's just like a really simple little noodly guitar, cool sounding, simple riff. But it's just one of those tunes that, like, if I wrote this song, I don't think it would, like, make my whole life. But if I was an old dude on my deathbed and just thinking back to Same Old Flame, I'd be like, yeah, man, at least I wrote Same Old Flame. That's a cool song that I brought that song into the world. And it's just a cool little chorus, too, of just stamping out the same old flame. It's totally like when you're, if you're in a relationship with a girl, right? And you got issues that you are always talking about and trying to resolve, but they never seem to be resolved, you know? So you're just bringing up the same shit again and again, just stamping out that same old fucking flame. That's what the chorus of the song reminds me of. I don't know, the verses are all different and about weird other shit. All right, so this is Sloan, Same Old Flame.
Drank it all to the last taste. Woke up with a fresh face. Another date in the UK. Everybody surrounds us. Living high on a tour bus. It's not that bad. The best we had. I hit Italian and German. Damage between us.
Quite a lot of work right now, actually. It's fucking Friday, and Thursday is really the super busy day at a movie theater, because that's when you're preparing for Friday. And it's basically me and this girl, Heidi. We got this booth locked down. We both work full-time. We're fucking awesome projectionists, so it's mostly just us, but we were training a new guy yesterday, and it really slowed things down, so it's quite a bit of horseshit left to do. So I have to save my extra-long rambling stories till the day settles down a little. For instance, right now, the credit foil and the Heartbreak Kid is way too late. What it is, it's this little, just a little piece of foil you put on the print of the movie near the start of the credits and at the end of the credits. And the first foil tells the projector that the credits have hit and bring up the lights. And the second one shuts down the whole thing. Somebody put it way, way too late. I've done this myself. It's easy to do because you're going through visually, you know, trying to find where the credits start. So this particular movie's got, like, it jumps to a little scene of some hilarious fucking dumb shit. And then back to the credits, so whoever was doing it thought that was the end of the movie, and that those midway credits were the beginning of the credits. And it's a surprisingly big problem, because movie theaters are fucking dark, so the credits, you know, start and the lights don't come up. People are basically trapped. They can't really get out, because it's fucking pitch black in there. So, and I don't have any, you know, the radio tells me when it hits the credit foil, but I don't know, what am I going to do, hover around this movie to see when the credits are, turn the lights up? It's bullshit. So I'm going to try to fix that before the next show. Which means I got to take the whole movie, and like, we got this big mover. It's like a big pizza, you know, and you push it under, and you put it on. Anyway, I got to bring it upstairs through an elevator, put it on this special breakdown table, rewind it, change the fucking credit foil, etc., etc. And then all this effort for the Heartbreak Kid. You know, I think this has to be said. Ben Stiller fucking sucks. I've been bringing this up to people lately, and nobody's on my side. They all think he's funny. He's not fucking... When has Ben Stiller ever made you laugh? Ever. Seriously, like, it's been a decade I've been seeing this douche in these fucking movies. How long am I supposed to wait for him to make me laugh? How many fucking chances does a man get, you know? Fuck him. He's so fucking bland. He's just not funny. I mean, some of the movies he's been in have been funny, but it's never because of him. It's just the other people in the movie. I think my favorite thing Ben Stiller ever did was in the Royal Tenenbaums at the end, the very end, when he tells Royal that he had a bad year. That wasn't even funny at all. That's like the drama part. It was just a really nice little moment. You know, that was okay, but... Ah, fucking Ben Stiller. I just don't get it. Fuck that dude. Anyway. So let me just throw in a song here real quick while I go do some work. This is from a band called Godstar, who I found out about through the Lemonheads. They're one of Evan Dando's Australian friends. I don't like them as much as Smudge, but this song is called Every Now and Again. And it's a kind of downbeat little ditty. And it's cool.
Down every now and again.
All right, I'm still working. Let me throw another song at you. This is Juliana Hatfield from sometime in the late 90s from an EP she did called Please Do Not Disturb. The song is called As If Your Life Depended on It. It has a crappy chorus. I find she has that a lot where her songs are uneven. You know, they'll have like just like a part of it will kind of kill the rest. Because this song is so, so awesome. Like just excellent. And then it hits the chorus and the chorus just dies. But the rest of the song is wicked. So good. As If Your Life Depended on It, Juliana Hatfield.
Say hello.
You know, it's a little bit stressful getting shit done in between movies. You know, you're in this time frame and you got to get it done in time because the movie's got to start and you're doing all this surgery and the movie's all fucked up and it's like tricky, man, but it's kind of exciting and cool and fun. Except for the days when it's way too hard and then it sucks, but that hardly ever happens. Anyway, I am on schedule because I'm awesome, but pretty much no matter how busy you get, it doesn't mean I don't have time to duck in here and record some banter for a podcast. So, fix the heartbreak, kid. Fuck you, Ben Stiller. Gonna go put that shit back in, get it all threaded, ready to go. But here's another song. This is Ricky's theme by the Beastie Boys, a live version. For ages, even though this is not indicative of the Beastie Boys generally, because it's just a spaced out groovy instrumental, although their new album, The Mix Up, is all spaced out groovy instrumentals, this was my favorite Beastie Boys song for ages. I don't know that I necessarily have a favorite anymore, but this is just like fucking awesome. I noticed all these songs are very downbeat, and I think that's because, if I remember right, where these originally came from is I made this like span of like 8 or 9 nice chill CDs that I could play at my old job when I worked at a comic store way back in New Brunswick. And then I ripped those onto, into MP3 to put them on an MP3 thing, then switched it to DVD and now onto an MP3 player. These things have like survived throughout, man, I don't know, it's probably not a decade, but 6 or 7 years at least. So that's why these initial selections all just happen to be so chill. Here's the Beastie Boys with Ricky's theme.
Thank you.
my time-sensitive work is basically done. There's still quite a lot for me to do, but doesn't have to be done till the end of the day. Being a projectionist is weird, because it used to be a unionized job, where, I don't know, I mean, I guess it was a lot tougher or something. They got more dangerous conditions. They got paid a lot more, I don't know, $20 an hour or some shit. And it certainly is not like that anymore, but I only get paid $8.50 an hour. It's very, it's a low-level job. That's only 50 cents above the minimum wage here in Vancouver. But I don't at all feel bad that I missed the union days, because, I don't know, if you spend your whole life as a projectionist, that's very sad. Thinking of this as a career, that's ridiculous. If you did spend your whole life doing this, boo to you, man. I don't care if you were getting paid all right. This is retarded. Not a very fulfilling life. So at least, now that it's been automated and is easy enough to be such a low-level job, at least you know, you don't get tricked anymore into thinking that you're doing something legitimate. You know, this is obviously a temporary career. It's weird because I like it up here a lot, but it's like the only way I found out about this job was by disaster. Man, it was like one of my lowest points where I was so desperate for a job that I actually went back. I talked about this before, but back to the old coffee shop I used to work at. And then I wanted just desperately to get out of there. So I ended up working at this movie theater in a similar capacity, selling coffee and frozen yogurt and stupid shit. And then through that, I found out about this projectionist job. And even in general, I don't think projectionist positions are as good as this one here. This is used to be called the Paramount. Now it's called the Scotiabank Theater, 900 Burrard in Vancouver. Because apparently to call it the Paramount cost them like $1 million a year. Whereas if they called it the Scotiabank Theater, Scotiabank pays them. Although it's a really corporate, terrible sounding name. But this theater, it's like brand new. It's like 3 years old. It's super fancy pants. I heard that the rent is like $800,000 a month for this building. And it's got like a $1 million fountain, which is not very impressive in the lobby. Not worth $1 million. But I think from the little bit I've seen of other theaters, it seems like they have, like their projection booths are literally like booths. Like one little cramped room with a projector in it. And then to get from booth to booth, you got to walk through the general population of the theater. This place, I have my whole own floors, two floors to myself. It's like you get in the elevator and there's these special floors, like, you know, buttons that don't work unless you have the special key. And that's where I spend my days. And I really dig it up here, basically. I remember my friend Brad saying once that he kind of wished he could get a job that was just, you know, moving boxes from one side of a room to the other. And then the next day, move them again, you know, just for a nice isolated job, just to not have to deal with people. And in a lot of ways, this is like that, except that it has that additional factor of what, you know, I'm basically just moving boxes. I'm just threading up movies, changing trailers. You know, it's all just, it's menial labor, basically. But it does have an effect on the outside world. If I fuck something up, there's a whole theater full of people that know. So it's got that little additional psychological visibility factor going on to keep everything a little bit, spruce it up a little, you know, spice it up. Keep it a little more, on your toes a little. But basically what I like about this is I enjoy the super isolation of it. I mean, I've got like headphones in all day, either listening to music or fucking lectures from the teaching company and all that shit. And even just being able to walk around singing songs to myself. That's amazing how tough it is to do that in some ways, because I can't do it at home. Because I live in this little place with my roommate Leo. He could hear anything, you know, I do in that place. It's just, you know, sound travels. And outside, you never know when you're going to run into somebody. You could be way out in the middle of nowhere singing to yourself. And you never know. You might come across somebody. Here, it's just like I'm just by myself. And I find that comforting. I like it. And it's weird, too, though, because generally, you pick up the job relatively quickly. And the day-to-day isn't so tough to do, which is why I can take time out. Well, I can take time out to do a podcast and shit, but there's always little things that can go wrong, and the longer you are a projectionist, the more of those things you get under your belt. But there's no incentive for anybody to stay at this job anymore, so I don't know how many people actually are any good at it, you know? It's kind of, especially, oh man, whenever our other projectionist, Heidi, the head one, she gets sent over to this shitty theater, Park and Tilford in North Van. It's just a nightmare, like the story she tells about the negligence and just how shitty it is. Or I was at Station Square in Metrotown, which is also like a ghost town fucking abandoned theater, but just, oh man, the movie just was all scratched and shitty and just, oh, you can just tell nobody gives a fuck. Compared to that, our theater is doing all right. Although you may have heard that show 2 just started and I'm not down there to check it, but I'll head down, make sure it's all in focus and shit. But, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so yesterday we had a screening, like a one-day advance screening of that fucking gay Ben Stiller movie, and it was super washed out looking, just like it looked like it was underwater. It was weird, and Richard, the booth manager guy, he's, I don't know, in his mid-20s, he's been doing this shit since he was 16. He's seen it all, you know? He didn't know what the fuck was going on. He's like, man, I've never seen this before. So, like, even that guy, like, that's what this job, it's fun in that sense, that there's so many things that can go wrong. And every time you've got to figure out the solution independently of, like, your previous knowledge almost, because it's a brand new problem. Turns out that the lens was cracked. We hadn't, like, there's two lenses on each projector, and we hadn't used that lens in so long. It was like super bad, and Eastern Promises were playing in that theater for like for months, so we always used the flat lens. We switched over to scope, it's all fucked up. The lens actually cracked. I have no idea how that happened. But, yeah, there's nothing we could do though. That theater got to see a nice fucking shitty looking screening of a shitty fucking movie. That's their own fucking fault. What are you doing coming to a Ben Stiller movie the day early? Oh man, I get to see it before everyone else. I hope he's fucking deadpan and fucking. Ugh, Ben Stiller. So, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so, but basically, once you get most of the, everyday, same type of thing, routine down with this job, it's amazing how much you can slack off, because, like, we're just by ourselves. I get to wear my street clothes, which is beautiful. No one else in this whole building gets to do that, but it's because projection booths are not made to make people comfortable. They're made to make movies comfortable. They tend to be kind of humid, and it's brutal wearing that uniform, so I don't have to wear it. Even the fucking management and shit, you know, they don't wear uniforms exactly, but they got to dress up all fancy. Not me, man. I can come in here looking like fucking shit, and no one cares. Which is almost appropriate, really. They almost expect it of their projectionists to be weird loner weirdos. But, man, yeah, me and Heidi, I don't want to incriminate her or anything, but we've gotten to the point where, like, we got a stack of comic books up here. I've been reading Why the Last Man, which I gotta say fucking sucks balls. It's terrible. Like, it's this comic book from Vertigo that's gotten all these accolades, and oh, it's so great. It's fucking shitty. I couldn't even, I got to, like, volume 4, and I just couldn't go on. I just skimmed the rest. It's just so two-dimensional and poorly thought out and just fucking, you can just tell the guy who wrote it is a big fucking pussy. It's just totally. It's like the opposite of Preacher. It's just fucking, angers me. I like couldn't read it for more than a few pages at a time without putting it down, but I just got nothing else to do up here, so I kept going back. But fuck that comic. It's terrible. It's fucking shitty. Brian K. Vaughan, you're a horrible writer. But yeah, so we're reread comics, we got books and up here, and I write all the time, listening to music. But the ultimate thing Heidi just started doing is we got this little AV cart where if they need to play a DVD on the big screen, we got a little DVD player we hook up to our pre-show projector, and it goes through there. But we need to test that shit out sometimes, so we've got our own DVD player and a little 13-inch TV just that you can roll around on this little cart. So she fucking hooked it up, and she's been watching the Lord of the Rings movies, and it's like, fuck, why not, man? So we just get paid to just fuck around up here. It's awesome. I mean, it's like my second industrial apartment. I mean, when you're watching movies at work, that's ridiculous. That's very, very sweet. But on the other hand, it's obviously a dead-end job, and like Doug Stanhope has a bit about how he hates when people with shitty jobs try to convince you that they're good jobs, because they're not, and he's right. So I think I'm going to miss the booth a little bit, but time to go. Spent more than enough time up here. Interesting, though. I'll get into that more. I gotta go do a little bit of work. But next song, yet another quieter selection. This is AC Alone with Makiba. I love this song. This song is so good. I heard of this guy the same place I heard of Saul Williams on the indie hip-hop show on CHSR back in my hometown, the college radio. And I downloaded a bunch of his stuff, but I only really got into, the first song I heard was The Greatest Show on Earth. That's a good song. The Guidelines, that's also awesome. And this one, Makiba. And I've probably heard each one of these three songs, like, I don't know, 500 times. Maybe that's a little much, but I don't know how this guy remembers all his lyrics. Makeba's not as bad. It's more like a story. But Greatest Show on Earth and The Guidelines, just these long, 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 weird, rambly, crazy verses of stuff. And I mean, I can't remember. I maybe know a third of the lyrics, even after hearing them that many times. I don't know how this guy fucking remembers all this shit. But this song is just the, I don't know, it's like he's talking about an old relationship he had, and he's like, you know, but that's over now, babe. Unless, you know, you play your cards right, and maybe it won't be over. When it's like kind of retarded in a way, because it's clear from this song that Makeba don't give a fuck about you anymore, AC Alone. But this is a good song. I really like this song. This is Makeba by AC Alone.
This is not a love ballad, but it is a slow song. Finna tell you about this girl I know. This girl I used to know. Her name's
Makeba,
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 Makeba. Yo, how you doing, baby? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you in a couple of years. And the last I heard, you lost your mind. Well, how you been? Who you been with? How's it been going? Still in the hip hop? Are you still flowing? Oh yeah, that's cool. We should kick back, maybe have a session. I remember you telling me you had to get away. Couldn't stay another day in the life of a late in the city. That's peace. Yo, where you been? China, Africa, Greece. At least you could've dropped me a letter or a phone call. Let me know you was alright. I asked your friends and your family, and they kept telling me Makeba disappeared in the night. Now I know that you had big dreams, Makeba, but I had big dreams too. And all this time you were searching, Makeba, did any of your dreams come true? I remember I used to be down for you when you was down for me. I had your back and you had my back, Makeba. I wanted you to be my G.
Makeba, Makeba, you know I got another girl after that, right? She kind of looked like you too a little bit.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba.
Yeah, why don't you just come to the crib, you know, listen to some music, talk about
it. Ooh,
that.
I see you're not a young girl anymore, and you're all grown up, and you've been around the world. Wanna see what life's gonna offer you? It's your young world, and it's all for you. You probably got a man in every country that wants you, like I wanted you, but you didn't want that. Remember how we used to make love, Makeba? Remember how you loved it when I hit it from the back?
Makeba, 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 Makeba.
I had love for you.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba.
I had wanted you.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba.
I had needed you.
Makeba, 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 Makeba.
I remember coming to your house 7 in the morning, ready for school, but we didn't even go. It was back to my house where we kissed like kids, and we jumped in the bed, and you know I loved making love to my Makeba. She was like my queen of Sheba. I remember how we used to smoke cheaper. Oh, you don't smoke no more? Well, that's cool. Well, everybody gotta stop sometime. I remember one time when you hid my stash and saved my ass from the one time. I remember some fools tried to jump me, and you jumped up before anybody did. We used to say, if and when we get married, we'll have kid after 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 kid. Damn, that's a lot of kids.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba,
sweet.
Makeba, 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 Makeba.
I had love for you.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba.
I had wanted you.
Makeba, Makeba, Makeba.
I had needed you.
Makeba, Makeba.
How I loved making love to my Makeba.
Makeba.
But remember how the whole crew used to hang tough? Well, everybody's doing they thang and stuff, and everybody's still acting like they know. And a few more people ain't with us no more. All me, I'm just chilling, making my music, living and building, trying to make a million out this little dime and this nickel, and licking liquor shots for the profits we forgot. But other than that, I'm glad you back on deck. I expect to see you in the near future if you want to just sit and chat and talk about the good old days, good old times, what was in style, what's going on now, cause it has been a while. Makeba, honey girlfriend, left in a whirlwind, put a brother in a tailspin, just twirling, had a few laughs and kicks, but me and my clique don't be tripping on tricks. I still got a piece of me to give you, you still got a piece of you to give me. You listening, but you don't hear me. We can pick up right where we left that, but I gotta be me and you gotta accept that. I just wanna be homies, cause I ain't got love like Moni. Cause as soon as you got close, you got ghosts, and you try to leave AC lonely. So hook up with me if you can't cool, but you know I know what you get loose to. And if you play your cards right, get your shit tight, then we might be down like we used to.
Makeba, Makeba.
Yeah, that song is generally so cool most of the way through, but then at the end, I don't know, it's just got that vibe where it's just like the maybe we could get back together vibe, and that's lame, dude. I always like, there's this French saying about going back to your past loves. It's like using your coffee grounds a second time. Everything exciting about it is gone. So, I was going to say another thing that's nice about this, like, kind of scam we got going on and working up in this booth is I can leave, even. We have this service elevator where you can take it down to the... Because, like, this theater, it's weird, man. It's, like, I don't know, the equivalent of, like, 12 stories. It's huge. And then the top of the building is all condos. So you take way down to the service elevator, where it's just a bunch of junk and shit, way down to the main floor. It's like the loading bay, I guess. And I can just sneak out through there, and usually I keep within the block, but there's like a Subway, there's an IGA across the street, there's a Tim Hortons, and there's like a Vietnamese place, a Japanese place, and a Middle Eastern place, all right around the back of the building. Problem is, the Middle Eastern place just sucks. It's the only place of that type in this whole town that I don't like. It's just bland. I don't know what the guy's doing wrong. However, my favorite one of those places is, it's probably like five blocks from here. It's a ways. It's on Robson and Granville, that corner. The Babylon Cafe, I think it's called. And the other day, I was just like, wanted that shit so bad. As all the movies were running, I figured, chances are everything will be fine. So I took off. And I just assumed my radio wouldn't make it that far, but it did. I was there waiting in line, miles away, and I got the little... we get a little chime through the radio when a movie is past the credits. The trailers and ads, and the actual movie has started. And I got my little ding, ding, ding. That's what it says. And I was like, wow, I can't believe these radios are that strong. Now, luckily, nothing went wrong, because there's no covering up for that. You know, I'd have to radio back to the head office dudes and just be like, hey, guys, this is fucked up. Like, you know, you got to go fix it because I'm not there. I'm a little scatterbrained today. I've been sleeping bad lately. My schedule is so backwards. See, that's what I'm talking about. Show 6 just started. But, so I've been working like these evening shifts where I start at like 5:30 and get off at 1 in the morning. And then I've just been staying up all night and sleeping throughout the day. And that's what I did yesterday. But somebody called me at like noon, which is like the middle of the night for me. I don't know, I think it might have been Nicole, who used to work at the porn store with me. It sounded like she was at a bar. I don't know, the connection broke and I just fell back asleep. But I didn't fall all the way back asleep. That whole last half of my sleep just never really kicked in again, and I feel all fucked up. It's kind of fun being sleepy in some ways. It's almost like being drunk, and then you get some coffee in you and you got the two conflicting forces. But, I don't feel like I'm as mentally acute as usual. So, let's play a real quick song. This is a song by a British band called Gomez that I used to be huge into. And they've got a couple albums out now, though, like I've fallen behind that I haven't heard. But this is from Abandoned Shopping Trolley Cart. Whatever, I don't know. It's their fucking third album. And it's called Shitbag. And it's like a minute long. It's awesome. Now, one of the best signs about this job is that I would definitely do it even if I weren't getting paid. I wouldn't do it as often as I do, but I would totally come up here of my own, on my own free time, just to learn how this shit works, because I think it's fucking fascinating. Fucking movies and projectors and just the inner workings of all this shit. I've learned all kinds of stuff. And, like, for instance, let me hit you with some fucking specialized dialogue, fucking terminology. This movie, Eastern Promises, David Cronenberg movie. Apparently it's great. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I just can't give a shit about movies anymore. It's very hard for me to be motivated enough to go see them. Stardust. Everybody told me Stardust was great, and I always like Neil Gaiman stuff, but even though it's free for me, I just can't give a shit. Like, what, I gotta go sit in a theater for 2 whole hours? Fuck that, you know? Anyway, we get this movie, and it's in flat format, but it looks like scope because it fills up the whole frame. So I started making the trailer pack in scope, which turns out was wrong. I eventually figured out I had to rebuild the whole thing, so that fucking sucked. But what's super annoying is that the fucking studio, when they spliced their own logo in at the beginning, they did it wrong. It's fucking out of frame. So this thing goes out of frame, and because it's this massive fucking screen that just, like, there's tons, acres of fucking footage on the top and the bottom that the masking is supposed to take care of. So you can crank that bitch either way, like, a lot, and you can't tell where the fucking middle of the screen is. And this fucking piece of shit movie has subtitles, and it's a soft print, by the way, so I can't ever get the fucking thing to focus. It always looks a little shitty. So the first time we play this thing, I thought I had this. I didn't realize there were subtitles. So eventually I noticed, but I didn't have them up high enough. And it's just like, anyway, everything I just said actually does make sense if you're a projectionist. But during that first screening, now that this is funny, I never directly have to deal with customers. So it's very rare that I ever hear any other fucking complaints. But and this was a legitimate complaint, is that when there were enough subtitles, like the second line of subtitles was getting cut off at the bottom of the screen. That's obviously a big problem. So this guy comes out of the theater, finds one of the little dudes running around on the floor, and instead of saying, even just say the word subtitles, anything to tip me off, you know, so I know what the fuck you're talking about, he goes, "I'm a movie critic, and I gotta say that the framing in this movie is crap." So the guy downstairs is like, "Hey, Booth, this guy says he's a movie critic, and the framing in number two is crap." What the fuck does that mean? What are you talking about? Like, I went and looked at it. I didn't know what he was talking about. Finally, I noticed the subtitle thing. If you just said the word subtitles, you fucking douchebag. Who cares if you're a film critic? Does that make you a projectionist? Do you know how to fucking do any of the shit that I do? Not like I'm so fucking important, but you are definitely not. I fucking hate it when people bring up their stupid careers when it's not related. You're a movie critic. Fantastic. Congratulations. You know, have a fucking fulfilling life, you dipshit. God damn, like, that's like the most worthless career in the world. What are you talking about? Like, we were playing Across the Universe last week, and there was a problem with that too, where in, like, the right side, the sound channel was kind of fucked up, and for like 5 minutes it was like staticky. You could hear buzz, and that movie's all about singing and music and Beatles and shit, so obviously you don't want that. But the guy who comes out to complain, again, he's like, "I'm a composer, and because I'm a composer, grating static is somehow more grating to me. I can understand this on fucking so many more levels than everyone else." And it's like, fucking relax, man. Okay, we'll fix the problem. Very sorry. It's a legitimate complaint, again, but I don't care that you're a fucking composer. What the fuck did you compose? Are you goddamn Mozart Jr.? Who gives a shit? Shut your fucking face. Ridiculous. Anyway, speaking of sneaking out of the movie theater, I'm going to go sneak out of the movie theater. I got to get something to eat. I totally wanted I wanted butter chicken so bad today, but just, I don't know. Is it a holiday today? I don't know. I was just going to go to the mall fucking food court, and because that'll do, you know. And I thought there was, like, maybe it's a long weekend. I mean, I thought that was Monday. I don't know. Anyway, it was all closed. It sucked. So, and there's nowhere around here close enough. Although, who knows, you know, maybe I could get on a fucking bus, go down the street, see if my radio still works. Anyway, let me play another song. Ah, okay, this is going to be a little three-pack. I got this book that I'm working on called Smile, and there's a character in it who, he's like the nerdy kid who kind of goes through a whole bunch of tough shit and gets the shit kicked out of him, basically, in a lot of ways, and comes out, you know, a little tougher on the other side, a little fucked up, but ultimately probably better. And I always like these two songs as, like, his theme songs. This is Autumn Shade by The Vines, but they did On their first album, they had Autumn Shade. The second album, they did Autumn Shade 2. And if you play them in reverse order, these are like the themes for the guy. Autumn Shade 2 is how he starts the book. It's all about, like, you can't, I'm transparent. No one notices me, you know, I'm just fucking floating around. And then by the end of the book, it's not like he's fixed, you know, he's just, but it's like a little bit of a tougher, some slightly harder version of the same theme, you know, like he's carved out of wood now. And then after that, just because it slides into it really well, I'm going to play Out of the Way, just because that's the song that comes after Autumn Shade on that album, and it's fucking great. It's one of those, like, some of those Vine songs and Metric, they just remind me of, like, the In Utero days of, you know, mid-90s fucking grunge shit, which I thought was great. And that's it. Autumn Shade 2 and 1 and Out of the Way.
Look through me because I am a transparent.
Never wanna say
You know, something I actually think is interesting about all those, like, framing problems I was talking about earlier. This is one thing I really didn't expect, is that in movies, flat movies especially, like, there's a lot more that is on the print, like, the actual movie, than you see on the screen. Masking, it's really just, you know, just little bars that come down from the top and the bottom, or the sides, just to chop off the edges of the movie. So what you see on the big screen is definitely not the whole thing. And sometimes they leave shit in there, like boom mics and stuff. You can actually, if you have the masking set wrong, you can see that shit. Disturbia, I remember, came with a little note where they're like, hey, watch for this, because if you do it wrong, people are going to see the boom mics. I just thought that was strange and interesting. Oh, man, my fucking caffeine rush. Like, when I first got to work and I had a large coffee and I was like, yeah, all right, I feel all happy. But all I'm thinking is just, like, complaining about things and, I'm crashing. I don't know, should I go have another coffee? But I don't want to wig myself out, you know, because then you just get all fucked up. This next song, this is a Canadian classic. There was this Canadian band called I Mother Earth that did pretty well. Their first album I had, and it was, like, sort of okay. It had Rain Will Fall, really good song. And the second album, Scenery and Fish, was massive, fucking huge. It had tons of singles, did great. I'm pretty sure this is one of those bands that never hit in the States, but they were big here. And that was it was a good CD. And then their singer, Edwin, apparently he had really nothing to do with the band. I don't even think he wrote lyrics. So he split off, and they got a new singer, and put out a couple more albums that just fizzled. Nobody gave a fuck. And Edwin went off by himself, and he put out a solo album. And his first one was big, did really awesome, had, like, tons of singles, all that shit. And then he also put out another couple that fizzled, no one gave a fuck. And I actually saw he's playing here relatively soon. And that just seems so weird. Like, once your star has passed, you know, your flash is over, to just keep fucking going and doing the grind is so weird. Like, I saw that Louis Anderson is doing a show here. I don't even know how Louis Anderson was ever famous in the first place, but he sure as fuck ain't famous anymore. Who the fuck is going to see this guy? Who gives a shit, you know? Louis Anderson, Edwin, you know? It's like, I don't know, just stop. Just give up. It's amazing how long you can just keep grinding off your fucking fame forever. But this is, I think, the second single from Edwin's solo album. It's called Hang Ten, and it's fucking awesome. It's such a good little, nice, cool tune. Something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah, man. I've totally just fallen off the social wagon completely. All I do is work here in Vancouver. Work, work, work. Save money. But, like, I remember I complained that I missed Gwar, like, 3 times last time I lived in Vancouver. And Gwar is playing again, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even care. I'm not even going to try to go. I got no one to go with. I don't even care. Fuck it. I give up. I'm not. Almost like, I think I'm getting too old to even almost be involved in the music scene. It takes too much effort. Like, Ween is playing here. And I was like, fuck, nice. I like Ween. I could totally go for seeing that. It's at, like, the Queen Elizabeth Theater, limited seating type of shit. And I was like, all right, but then I got to book a day off. I got to get a ticket. Got to go, all that shit. So I wait for, like, a week. And then in next week's paper, Ween sold out. It's like, ah, well, fuck. You know, just fuck me then. Too slow, you know. I'm just not, I don't know. If I even, nah. It's like, if I even just had somebody to go with, you know, if Matt was still here, I'd totally go see fucking Gwar with him. Or we'd go see Ween, you know. But we would have gone to see The Cure. He loves The Cure. But by yourself, it's just like, what a pit. I don't know. It's a good try. I come back to Vancouver, but no, I'm leaving. Leaving again. And I said I wouldn't leave again in the winter. I swore I was going to stay here till at least the spring, because the winter sucks on the East Coast, but oh well. All right, I definitely got to get some food in me. I think that'll fucking perk me up. Here is Edwin with Hang Ten. I'm not afraid to Got any food yet, because a couple of the movies I haven't actually started yet. Just be another 10 minutes, but I really got to wait till everything's at least running before I go, because if something's going to go wrong, it's probably going to be right at the start. So here's a little tiny song by a band called Eric's Trip from the East Coast, and it's just a really little quiet, cool, short song about... I don't know what the fuck it's about. It's just cool. Here it is. It's called May 17th. You ever, like, really hungry, but you just can't decide what you want to eat? I was really into that butter chicken idea, and now I don't know what. Like, around here, I just don't know what to get. Fucking bored of all this shit. It's a good problem to have, you know? Just so bored about food. Poor old third world people. They don't know what this is like. It's like, I don't know, should I have Vietnamese today? Should I have Japanese food? Should I go to Subway? Should I go to Burger King? I don't know. Who can decide? I mean, I'm kind of uncomfortably hungry now, where it's just like, I don't even want to put food in me, but I gotta. Stick with the East Coast here. We're going to play, this is a band called The Hardship Post. I think I talked with them before, but I don't know what I would have played by them. Oh, I played, I did play this one time with the show I did with Brad. But these guys just got worse and worse and worse. First EP was awesome, first album was okay, and then just shittier. But, these two songs are from their first full-length album. There's Garbage Truck and New Wave. I'm going to play them in reverse order from the album, just for whatever reason. And then after that, I'm going to play Sugar Cane. That's the first time I heard of these guys. Was yet another show on CHSR. This guy used to play. He's like, man, you got to hear this song, Sugar Cane. It's so good. And it's so good that he like put on a bunch of songs and ran out into the parking lot in the middle of winter to go get the tape out of his car so he could bring it in and play it. Ah, the olden days. It's fucking great. Anyway, so here's three songs by The Hardship Post. Canadian East Coast classics. Very awesome songs.
motherfuckers know my game. All good things in the past and down the drain. He thought he was lucky the first time, and hot fudge, his hands got stuck. Second time around, it's looking unfamiliar. So bring it on, garbage truck. Lucky like the third match struck. The fourth time around, it's looking too familiar. Don't wanna ride to town on a garbage truck. Yeah.
kickers all up and down my tongue. A sore jaw and a band-aid on my thumb. She's coming up the road, her arms full of sugar cane. At 20 cents ain't a bad way to spend the day. Coming to me. She lived in town and my house was 5 miles away. And walking home from work, she'd visit me every day. She's sitting next to me beside a pile of sugar cane. Some true blood tastes sweet just the same.
Yeah, that was nice. Got us out of the downbeat doldrums. I remember that last song, Sugar Canes, that was like their first single. And then on their EP, one of the songs starts with, like, you hear the sugar cane riff in the background really low, and then it breaks into this new song. But the new song was not even a tenth as fucking catchy as Sugar Cane. So every time I heard it, I just wanted to hear Sugar Cane. I was always pissed when the other song starts. It's like, fuck off, man. Fucking play the good song. What are you doing? However, now it doesn't mean that we're done with the downbeat songs. It's just going to be a total crapshoot from now on. It could be anything. And as it happens, the next song that I came across that... let's see what we're up to here. I have 234 tracks on this thing, although some of those are a William Gibson book. Most of them are music. And we are up to track 68. And this is another, some more Canadian content. This is a guy named Hayden. I don't know what he's been doing lately. I don't know if he still does music or not. His first album had a bunch of really cool stuff. And after that, I don't know, not the same. But this is his first single. One of those songs that's called Bad As It Seems. One of those songs that didn't really hit me at first, you know, when the video was getting played and stuff. And it was only a few years later when I found some of his other songs I really liked, and then went and got the CD from Backstreet Records in Fredericton, 384 Queen. That then I realized how good this song was and like why everybody liked it. And it really is just like, I don't know, I guess it's kind of appropriate. I mean, he's talking about can't seem to find a girl, working a shitty job. Yeah, no, kind of the same situation I'm in right now. But yeah, it's like the blues, but this is a good song. And this guy, he doesn't do it in this song, and only really on his first album, but he would just break into this fucking crazy loud, like powerful voice. I don't know how he didn't like just tear his vocal cords to shreds. Maybe that's why he doesn't do it anymore. But the famous story of this guy was he played a show here at the Farmer's Market in Fredericton. Not here, I'm in Vancouver. Back in my hometown in Fredericton. I wasn't at this show, but apparently he, instead of using the little stage they had set up with the mic and everything, he took his stool to the middle of the room so everybody was circled around him and just performed like that. He didn't even use amplification of any kind, just his fucking voice and his guitar. That is cool as shit. So here is some Canadian blues. Hayden with Bad As It Seems. How's my radio voice doing, you know? Fucking, hey, Hayden. It's Hayden. Fucking Bad As It Seems. Here it is.
parents' house, I'll stay for free until I'm at least 43. What do I do this for? I've got to get out some more. Go down to the grocery store, meet someone out the door. Someone who'll make me laugh, someone to be my better half, keep me warm under the sack, share with me my midnight.
Ah, that's a nice little tune. Actually, hold on. Let me play you a little, just a little clip of another Hayden song. I'm only going to play like the first 30 seconds, but check out this this harmonica bit. I love this. I remember I had a harmonica for a while, and I wanted to learn how to play this, but I don't actually know if it was even in the right key or what, and I don't know. I couldn't make a go of the harmonica. Tricky. But yeah, this is a little bit from Bunk Bed. Just check out this harmonica fucking riff, or whatever you call it. This rules. You know, I'll tell you one thing that's awkward about working at a movie theater is that everybody is either way older than me because they're fucking idiot losers who get stuck working in this stupid shit place, or they're way younger. It's mostly the case. See, it's a little awkward because, I don't know, there's some like super hot girls around here, but they're all like high school, you know? It's like, what are you supposed to do? There's this one girl in particular who, when I first started working here, she singled me out right away and came and sat with me and had the little chitty chat about her stupid fucking... She's telling me about some party she was at, and this one girl did this one thing, and I couldn't believe it, and she, like, snubbed me, or by something, boys, shit, stole whoever, retarded bullshit. I remember I made some joke about, you know, like, you should take her off your MySpace, and she, like, extremely earnestly was like, I will, I am going to do that. It's just, like, ridiculous. Again, to bring up Doug Stanhope, it's, like, the natural thing to keep you from being a creep and fucking young girls is that they're idiots, man. You talk to them for 2 seconds and it's like, whoa, what the fuck? But this one girl in particular, I don't know, she's like Middle Eastern or something, one of those weird name places, and I don't know, she's cute enough, I guess, but she has like this super hot ass. Oh man, it's great. And just the other day, she always gives me the look. You know, it's nice. I like that. When you're walking across the room and you get the chick who's just like, you know, giving you... It's like the opposite of when we give chicks a look and it creeps them out. To a dude, that's always just a good time. But she made a real deliberate point of mentioning that her 18th birthday was coming up. And it's like, I don't know. I almost wish in some ways that I was a more amoral fellow. I mean, there's some good times to be had, I'm sure. But I can't do that type of thing. I got a very strong moral compass. I'm all about the fucking truth and justice, cowboy fucking horseshit. Which is weird because the older I get, the more clear it is that there is no grand scheme, there's no higher power, there's no afterlife, there is no actual reason to live under a code of morality. I actually thought it was funny how, I don't know, it wasn't Dungeons and Dragons, but one of these nerdy things, you know, role-playing games where they break down. Those things are interesting because they break down, like, society and life into numbers. And it's kind of interesting to see how other people view that type of thing. And I thought it was cool that there was like a list of detriments you could take to your character. You know, you can have better sharpshooting or whatever, but you have to take this bad thing to earn that. And one of the bad things was like a fervent morality, you know, like a code of ethics that actually fucks you because there's so many things that you can't do if you have that. Like, you'll stay on the straight and narrow, and it really limits your choices. And I just thought that was funny because I always thought of it as like a positive thing. It's a good thing to be a good person. But technically, maybe it isn't, you know, like it really does railroad you. But for me, in the long run, it would never work to just to do stuff like fucking chicks that are a decade younger than me. And, well, like, oh, man, one of my ex-girlfriends, her older brother used to do cocaine with her when she was, like, 15 or something, and he is, like, a few years older. I can't tell you how much that just fucking offends me on every level, that anyone could be that much of a scumbag. That's, like, the kind of thing I could never, ever do. Just never. It would never happen. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of fun to be had with fucking young chicks you don't care about and boozing and carousing and doing cocaine, all kinds of crazy shit. But I think in the long run, I don't want to moralize on other people's lives, but it sure would not work for me. I got that, you know, that internal eye that watches everything you do, you know, the eye of judgment. It doesn't matter so much what other people think of you. It matters what you think of you. And whenever I do bad stuff, I don't forget that shit, you know, I know. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more bad stuff you do, the more you see yourself as that guy, and the easier it is to do it again the next time. Whereas if you know you are a good person, you know you do the right thing, you know what the right thing is, and you fucking stick to it, the easier and easier it is to be that way, because you know that's what you are. It's like it snowballs in either direction. And I just thought it was interesting that Joss Whedon has such a good way of describing it on... it's like such a nerdy example, but fuck it, I'm a pop culture kid. That's how it is. It's how I was raised. Were I a tribesman in the Kalahari, for instance? In the Buffy spinoff show Angel, I have a feeling I talked about this. Maybe I did. But there's a line Angel says about how if nothing we do matters. You know, if there is no grand purpose, and if nothing we do ultimately matters, then all that matters is what we do, because that's all we've got. That's all we have to define ourselves as human beings, you know? That's the only thing to take pride in. The only dignity we have is the things that we do, is the code and the guidelines that we make for ourselves. Which makes no fucking sense in Angel, because there are higher powers, there are alternate planes of reality, there is gods and demons and devils. There is a grand purpose. That's the whole point of the fucking show, is that he is... Well, I guess he doesn't believe in the prophecy, but it's this prophecy that if he does good, he gets to redeem himself, yada, yada, yada. Doesn't make any goddamn sense at all, really, though, in the context of that show, but it's more Joss Whedon's own personal view. You know, I don't know if he's agnostic or atheist. I think agnostic. That's so fucking stupid. I don't know. Maybe there's a God. No, there's not. No, there's not. What do you mean, maybe? Maybe a giant duck-billed platypus fucking on a Q-bert board runs every... No, it just doesn't make sense, man. Atheism all the way. There is no God. Not let's wait and see. There is not. Stop fucking holding out, man. There is no chance. Jesus. Either be religious or don't. Don't fucking waffle. Anyway, the point is I would totally enjoy fucking that girl, but in the long term, it would just be a horrible nightmare, and I think I'm better off not doing it, because I totally can't just do something like that and then bail. There's quite a few relationships I've avoided being in just because I know it's gonna go on and on, and I can't just break it, you know? I just can't. If I sleep with a chick, then that, to me, sex has got to come after the relationship, not before, you know? That doesn't make sense to me. The sex is a disconnected act. And I know if I sleep with a chick that I don't really like, I'm just going to feel obligated to fucking go through the motions and fucking try to make that shit work, and it's not going to work. Although, man, if you're a young person... You know, high school age, fucking get a job in a movie theater for sure, because this is like the fucking urban equivalent of fucking in the bushes, man. Apparently, with all the security cameras and shit and the footage around here, I heard through the grapevine that they've caught many a young teen couple getting down to some fucking in this building, because it is a huge building with a lot of little nooks and crannies. I could have done that with this. It's like the one girl of my age who works here who had the hugest tits, and I just was like, yeah, I gotta see, but I've never been with a chick with, like, these perfect tits. I had to know what they were like, and they were nice, but they did not make it worth the rest of the fucking horse shit. I don't know if anybody remembers when I was doing those little stand-up bits at the end of Keith and the Girl for a little while, last December, I guess it was. I did one about the chick with the, you make me feel beautiful. I don't know, you can go look it up. It was that chick. But she was all about the, like, all right, now that we're a couple, we can totally, like, sneak up here to the projection booth and we can fuck all over the place. There's so many little places. And I just couldn't do it. It's like, I don't like you. No, we're done. Stop. Sorry I exploited you for your titties, but this is not going to work. Anyway, the point is this 18-year-old chick, I would totally enjoy having sex with, like, one time if she would then just disappear. But, yeah. People often mistake me for being younger than I am also. I just turned 28, but, like, this chick, she totally thought I was, like, a little older than her. When I first moved to Vancouver, I remember, so I was, like, 23 or 24, and somebody asked me if I had just turned 19, but that could have just been because I'm a easy drunk. We were drinking, didn't take much, but I don't know, it's nice. It's nice being thought of as younger. Certainly no downside to it. All right, here's a, this song is by Hole from Live Through This, their super famous album. And it's weird, too, like, most of the CHSR college radio stuff was all the, obscure, weird shit. But I remember the year this album came out, in 94, I think it was, I was listening to their year-end countdown, where they keep a log of all the songs that they play, and, like, what were the most played songs that year. There was some obscure, weird shit in there, but the number one song was Violet by Hole. Like, it was a total crossover classic, man. Even the fucking hipsters loved this album. And there's talk that Kurt Cobain co-wrote a bunch of it. I don't know if that's true or not, but the album after this that she did with Billy Corgan sucked way fucking more. Anyway, this is the first song that I heard off this album. And I guess I heard Miss World first, which is kind of a shit song. Anyway, I heard this one on CHSR also. This is called Jennifer's Body, and it just, like, man, just from the opening riff, like, what a cool fucking tune. So here is some Hole. Ha, Hole, huh? Because I was talking about vaginas and putting cocks in them. Huh? Yeah.
I'm your lover, I'm your friend, I'm your enemy.
So that movie, Josie and the Pussycats. I don't know quite how to explain it, but me and my friend Matt and my friend Mark went to see it. And we used to have this old website called It's a Movie, So Watch It. It's actually on KeithCourage.com. If you get bored, you can go look this up and listen to our Josie and the Pussycats review, which is my favorite one. I don't know. It's not like it was a great movie by any stretch, but somehow that movie just hit us just right. And we were just dying laughing, like laughing so hard that other people in the theater must have thought we were drunk or on drugs or fucking faking. Like, there's no explanation for why it was so enjoyable. So, I mean, I can't recommend it. You know, you're not going to like it. There's almost no chance, but I love that movie. Just something about it is just so, so good. So, just, yeah. Of all those, like, dumb remakes they've been making, Josie and the Pussycats was hands down the best one. It was fucking, I don't know. You can go listen to that review and maybe it can explain. But it also had a very good soundtrack. Like, this thing just kind of got lost in the flood because the movie was a horrible failure. But it's the chick from Letters to Cleo who sings. And I know Biff Naked had some songwriting, guitar playing, backup singing duties in this. And it's just solid, man. These are some solid fucking chick rock songs. And this is my favorite one. It's called Shapeshifter. It gets shafted in the movie. It gets almost no play at all. Great, great song. It's awesome. Shapeshifter by Fake Josie and the Pussycats. Man, I'm getting no work done today. I got a couple of movies to break down so we can send them off to other theaters, put them back in their cans, mail them away. But, not mail, get picked up. But, I keep hearing another song that I like, so I keep coming back here to record. You see, I got like, I'm recording this on my little DV cam. And it's a big no-no to have cameras up here, obviously. This is like the ultimate fucking place to fucking bootleg a movie from. Maybe not for sound purposes, but then it'd be easy enough to get the sound separately somewhere else and sync them up. But yeah, just even though I'm only using this to record audio, really should not have a camera up here. They take this shit serious. I think the film industry is feeling the fucking... I don't understand why people watch fucking bootlegs, you know? I can see downloading a DVD rip of a movie, but these fucking theater bootlegs... Get with it. Fuck you, nerds. It's retarded. That's fucking stupid, man. It's a terrible way to watch a movie. Just go see the fucking movie or wait 3 months till it comes out, you know? I just don't get that at all. But they take this shit serious. If we get caught filming a movie, oh, man, it's like $5,000 or something. Although if I catch someone doing it, I get like $500. So I was trying to figure out how I could, like, get a homeless guy to come in and try to film a movie and then get arrested. And I was to put the money with him. Not seriously, obviously. That's a funny joke. I'm off in this little side room where you get to hear the rumbling machinery for some nice ambient noise. So I keep coming back here and recording my little bits in between songs. And I'm doing no work at all. I did get something to eat. I feel much better now, even though it was disgusting fucking Burger King. But we have a Burger King right here in the theater. I get it for, like, free. Anyway, a couple shows ago, I went on a little rant about Moby. Didn't play any Moby songs, though. So I'm going to play a Moby song. This is called Raining Again. And it's from his album Hotel, which, if I know my chronology, it was Play, then 18, then Hotel. And I like this song. This is a fine little ditty. So here's some Moby.
Oh.
You know, there's something else I want to bring up that is probably just proof that a job is shitty when one of your things that's good about it is that you have some basic freedom. But up here, I have my own bathroom. I can't tell you how great that is. There's one guy up here, one bathroom. Whereas everybody else that works in this building, even like the management and shit, they don't have their own bathroom. They got to use the little fucking handicap family bathroom or whatever. It's still way public. And when I worked downstairs at the fucking shitty coffee yogurt stand, I always had to go use the normal bathroom. And you can only go, obviously, when you're on break or when, you know, there's not a lineup of people waiting. You can't just go to the bathroom. When you can't go to the bathroom, you know, it's like that's one of my, it's like it's school. School's a good example. You can't, sometimes they don't let you go to the bathroom. Can you, that's insane, man. Like, there are many other problems with school, but they don't trust you enough to let you go to the bathroom? That's fucking horseshit, you know? School fucking offends me, and I never should have been a part of that system. It was not for me. It's to keep the goddamn animals fucking in a cage during the day. I had no reason to be there. But, yeah, like, I don't know, up here, it doesn't matter if you got diarrhea or constipation, whatever, one or the other. Being able to go to the bathroom virtually anytime you want, for as long as you want, is a beautiful thing. Just to go in there and take a fucking 20-minute shit and get paid the whole time. Ching, ching. Oh, I love it. That's great. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I can't think of any other job where I could just go to the bathroom anytime. For as long as I want. It's, that to me, that's sweet. And hey, what's your job? Think of your job. Can you just go to the bathroom anytime, huh? Can you? Maybe. If you can, I think that's not so bad of a job, you know? That could be a lot worse. Anyway, this is Time for Living by the Beastie Boys, which, just a fucking good song. It's, the music is from some old band they knew from back in, like, their hardcore days in New York. So they took the music from that other band's song, who have, you know, long since disappeared and were never a blip on the radar to begin with. But for lyrics, that's an old Sly and the Family Stone song. And they put them together, and it's fucking awesome. Here's Time for Living by the Beastie Boys.